Welcome to Health Cetera's podcast. COVID-19 has majorly impacted all of our lives in unprecedented ways, but few groups have suffered the pandemic's effects to the extent that aging adults have. Long periods of isolation, disease susceptibility, and absence of routine are just some of the pandemic's effects that are worsened for those aging during this time. Baxter Bell is a medical doctor, certified yoga teacher and yoga therapist, and co-author of Yoga for Healthy Aging, A Guide to Lifelong Well-Being. Dr. Bell is also an advocate of aging adults practicing healthy habits. He is a proponent of adults aging in a way that keeps them healthy for as long as possible, while remaining independent and informed on how to manage the physical effects of growing older. On this Health Cetera podcast, Eve Adler, Health Cetera correspondent, registered nurse, and registered yoga teacher, hosts Baxter Bell for a conversation about the experience of aging during the pandemic, how yoga and its values may ease the aging process, and ways to maintain health during this time. This interview first aired on Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio on March 23rd, 2022.
Hello, my name is Eve Adler. I'm a registered nurse, integrative health educator, and Health Cetera correspondent. Today, we'll be talking about healthy aging during a pandemic. I'll be speaking with an expert in the health field, asking him what is he hearing from his older clients who are navigating the ever-changing health landscape during the pandemic? What has worked to promote healthy aging? What are some of the issues that he's seen, and what are some tips and resources that may be good for our listeners? So without further ado, I will introduce our guest. I'm here today with Baxter Bell. Baxter is a medical doctor, former family physician, medical acupuncturist, as well as a certified yoga teacher and yoga therapist. He is the co-author of Yoga for Healthy Aging, A Guide to Lifelong Well-Being, and co-founder and a post-contributing writer for the blog Yoga for Healthy Aging. Over time, Baxter's work has evolved to incorporate a more holistic style of healing. He is involved in the integration of therapeutic applications of yoga with Western medicine, and he has been offering workshops about and for COVID long haulers. So I'm very happy to be here today with Baxter. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here as well.
Did I forget anything in the introduction?
I know, it's pretty good. You covered a lot of territory there.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
So what is healthy aging? You talk a lot about it. You've done a lot in terms of healthy aging. How would you define that?
Yeah, my ideas have grown out of the work I've done on my blog and on the book and on the trainings I've been doing now for about 10 years, about a decade. And in writing about these ideas around remaining healthy as we get older for a number of years, I started to hear back from those that were reading the blog and sending questions in that there were three kind of key areas that seemed to be important when it came to staying healthy as we get older. Number one was what things that could be done to diminish the amount of time that I'm sick in my lifetime. And this is called compressing morbidity, or conversely, increasing my health span, the years that I'm healthy during my lifetime. Secondly, people seemed like to feel that maintaining independence was a key concept in their ability to stay healthy as they got older, or was it at least an indicator that they were remaining healthy as they got older. And then finally, there was the reality check that stuff happens that we don't want to have happen, and that we have to have some tools to deal with that. And so the idea of cultivating the quality of equanimity, which is certainly a concept that is grounded in the yoga tradition, was something that people were also identifying as something very important for them as they were aging. So those three things, that idea of being able to compress the amount of time that we're in poor health as we get older, the ability to maintain independence, and then to have some tools to deal with the inevitable negative things that are going to crop up as we get older through the cultivation of equanimity formed the foundation of what has come to be called yoga for healthy aging.
And tell me more about equanimity.
Yeah, equanimity is an idea that actually is very, very old in the yoga tradition. In fact, it's discussed in one of the oldest poems, considered maybe the most famous poem from India, the Bhagavad Gita. And there's a conversation going on between two people in this poem. And at one point, the speaker says, yoga is equanimity. And this idea of equanimity is the ability to remain grounded, open, observant, unflustered, regardless of whatever's happening, so that you can take in those difficult moments with a sense of grounded clarity, as well as the joyful moments without going overboard with your joy, right? So people can go in both directions, you know. And so the idea is to kind of find a middle path that is useful on a daily basis.
Okay. Of the clients that you work with right now, what have been some ways that the pandemic has impacted them?
So for some of my older clients and students and patients, because I see people with different hats on at different times, I would say that one of the biggest thing that I heard was the challenges of being isolated during the pandemic, especially for my older folks that I work with. And so that idea of how do they remain connected? How can they have a sense of community when they're having a difficult time actually safely being in community for any number of reasons? I think that was probably the greatest challenge I heard repeated over and over and over again. And then I think the second thing was, I heard people saying, how can I remain healthy? How can I reestablish my routines when I can't go to the gym right now? And that's the thing I did 4 days a week. What am I going to do now? There was this recalibration of how can I maintain some healthy habits during this stressful period of uncertainty and change.
And what are your recommendations for those things, the isolation, the maintaining, being healthy?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people that teach yoga, and this may be true for you if you're in this field as well, is that very quickly as a yoga teacher, I had to pivot and figure out how could I connect with my students, right? I was normally going to the classroom or flying to the East Coast to give a seminar for the weekend, as I would have been doing this coming weekend. And so I had to quickly shift and discover this thing called Zoom that everybody knows about now. And, you know, what I found is that a lot of my students realized that I was offering classes pretty quickly. I tried to get the information to them via email and any other way I could. And they started coming to class reluctantly at first, but after months of being together online, I heard repeatedly that from people that their online yoga classes, they felt in some ways saved them from a lot of suffering that they thought they would have had otherwise. They use that phrase, you saved my life with these classes. Now, I don't think I literally saved their lives, but I do think that it provided an essential part of the quality of life that they needed to remain mentally and physically well during the pandemic.
You know, now that across the United States, there are different aspects of people coming out, you know,
right,
after the pandemic, or now that it is being called endemic in certain places. Have you seen that there's a change in people wanting to be in person versus online?
It's a very mixed bag. You know, some people are very excited about that. Their risk tolerance seems lower than others. Other people may have some underlying health stuff that they feel puts them at higher risk. And they're still a little reluctant to be going into a potentially crowded classroom. And so, you know, they're grateful that they have the option of still practicing online. And I haven't really restarted my public classes yet in person. I will probably do that maybe in the next couple of weeks here. We're at the beginning of March. And so we'll see how that pans out. Being a healthcare professional, having that hat as a medical doctor, you know, I'm skeptical by nature. And so I have a little bit of a wait and see attitude, because regardless of what some people would wish was the truth regarding this being endemic, I think it's still too early to call that from my perspective, and the fact that I read research that comes out on a pretty regular basis. I think we're in a hopeful period, but still an uncertain period. So, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of blending. Some people are going to try in-person classes, see how they feel when they get there, and hopefully it'll serve their needs. They'll stay healthy, and that'll be great. But if not, I'm going to certainly maintain some of my online presence. Because again, not only do I get to work with people that are in my community, I get to interact with people all around the country, and in some cases, all around the world.
I agree with that. You know, classes that I have been in, I have been able to take classes with teachers that I wouldn't have been able to just because of location. Yes. One of the workshops that I was very interested in that you taught was about autonomic dysregulation and COVID long haulers.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
Yes, let's start there. What is that? Okay.
So in the setting of people who had acute COVID, whether it was symptomatic or not, and then some time goes by, and they're suddenly having either persistent symptoms that never went away if they got sick, or they suddenly develop symptoms when they weren't sick initially, we now are calling this long COVID, or we call these folks long haulers. They call themselves that, actually. That term came from people who were suffering with these symptoms, and they didn't know what to call themselves. And so what we've discovered is that in a certain percentage of those people who develop this syndrome, and it's a syndrome because we don't know exactly why they have it. We're still teasing that out, and there are some theories on what's going on, but we don't know for sure. But one of the symptom complexes that people have is that they will have this dysregulation of their autonomic nervous system, meaning the autonomic nervous system, which typically is in the background of our awareness, and it's dealing with things like adjusting our blood pressure, adjusting our breathing rate, adjusting our body temperature, these sorts of background functions that if we had to think about them all day long, we wouldn't get much done, right? So they're taken care of by our brain and our nervous system and our hormonal system. Well, in these folks with long COVID, that system has gotten out of balance somehow. The virus or the viral particles or some injury the virus may have done to different parts of the nervous system, or we just don't know for sure, has thrown that all into a whack, and it's no longer functioning normally. So for example, one of the things that can happen when people have autonomic dysregulation is they get up from their chair at their desk, or they get out of bed first thing in the morning, and they immediately feel lightheaded, dizzy, and in some cases will literally pass out and fall to the ground because their body isn't able to have the normal way of regulating the change in body position as it relates to blood pressure and heart rate. And so the blood pressure suddenly drops, their heart rate goes super high, and they have all these symptoms, and the extreme is they can literally pass out and fall to the ground. To a lesser extent, they might feel like they're going to do that and have to immediately sit down and wait a half an hour before they feel safe to try again. So as you can imagine, this could be incredibly disruptive for folks that suffer from this form of long COVID. It doesn't affect everybody, but there is a certain percentage of people that are going to have these set of symptoms. And it's very challenging. An interesting part about that, Eve, is that because it's impacting the autonomic nervous system, one thing we know about yoga is that yoga can sometimes rebalance the autonomic nervous system by virtue of the way that we practice with our breath techniques, the mindful meditation techniques that can have an impact on the autonomic nervous system. And again, in this situation of long COVID, the physical postures and such may have a role to play, but they'd have to be modified because if people can't stand up safely, they're probably going to have to limit what they do in terms of their yoga practice.
And what do you recommend? What kind of advice do you give to people who are suffering from this autonomic dysregulation?
Well, I think it's really, really important. Just like, you know, you would go to a cardiologist if you were having significant heart issues. I think it's important to work with people who have some expertise and more experience than you do if you're the student or the person with long COVID. So I would certainly recommend that they have, if they don't already have a good healthcare team that they're working with, it would probably include more than one doctor and more than one specialist, that they have a healthcare team to provide support from that aspect, and that they find a yoga therapist that they can work with who has some training and understanding of the autonomic nervous system and can start to share some tools in a personalized way that's going to fit what's going on with that person very, very specifically.
Now, you mentioned working with someone, a yoga teacher who knows about the autonomic nervous system. How does someone find out about that?
So there's a great resource, a website that is sponsored by the International Association of Yoga Therapy called yogatherapy.health. And so you can find that online. And they have a registry of certified yoga therapists, people that have completed a certain level of training and met the requirements of the International Association of Yoga Therapy. And they keep a registry on that site of people that might be in your community that you can work with. Having said that, people can also work with teachers from other parts of the country. I have clients, yoga therapy clients that I work with all over the United States. I have someone in Boston right now that I'm working with, someone else in rural Pennsylvania, upstate New York. So the good news about our digital connection is that if you have someone you've heard about that you want to work with, you can work with people from all over the country. So, you know, look for some, I think it's helpful to work with someone in your community if you can do that. But if you live in a place that actually doesn't have yoga therapists, then look for people that might be in the closest city to where you live. And then if you have the opportunity to visit and work in person, that could be a wonderful opportunity at some point.
Thank you. That's good information. I like that website. In terms of national and national policy issues that may impact this, what are your thoughts?
I think that I would love to see in the United States, the Congress and the executive branch come together and form a very specific targeted policy approach to dealing with long COVID in particular, because we at this point in time, we don't know if this condition will resolve for the people that have it. Some people have gotten better, but many people who started developing these symptoms in April of 2000, now 2 years ago, are still suffering. They are not getting better. And so we have a big question mark as to how long this problem could last. We also don't know the full extent of how many people have it, but we know that it's millions of people that have long COVID. Even in the United States, we know that there are millions of people that have long COVID. So this is a huge burden on our healthcare system. It's a huge call to action for compassionate people everywhere to try and help and support these people that are suffering. And I would love to see policy directed towards creating infrastructure and funding for long COVID care for these people until we figure out exactly what's going on. And that also includes funding for the NIH for studies looking at this particular problem that's going to go on for a number of years so that we can have some good longitudinal studies going on.
Excellent. Is the NIH looking at long COVID right now?
They are, and there are a few, there are studies that are already in process. There's only a couple that have been completed, and they're asking some very basic early questions. But the momentum is there for sure. And I know we're going to see more and more of that over the coming 12 months for sure.
Excellent. Baxter, you have given us a whole lot of great information. If anyone in the audience wanted to contact you, how would they do that?
It is so easy, Eve. They can write to me at baxter@baxterbell.com. And they can also check out my website, which is www.baxterbell.com.
Excellent. Well, I would like to thank Baxter Bell for spending some time with me today. I'm Eve Adler, and you've been listening to HealthCetera.
You've been listening to a podcast of HealthCetera in the Catskills. For more podcasts and discussions of important health issues and policies affecting health, go to HealthCetera's website and blog at www.healthmediapolicy.com. That's www.healthmediapolicy.com. This podcast was produced by Dr. Diana Mason and production assistant Kai Volsey.